Welcome back to another episode of Chats with Clark. I'm the host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we get straight to the point. And the point today is my dear friend, Hayden Speed. Hayden, how are you?
Good, how are you, Joe?
Good, thanks for coming on. I'm excited to hear from you.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure.
Absolutely. It's a fall day here in Cleveland, which means that I have my boots on. But usually for someone that's a shoe head or a sneaker head, boots wouldn't be the main cup of tea. And so, Hayden, let's hear about it. You have a very successful shoe business.
Yeah, so essentially what I do is I plug stores locally. I sell to clients online. I have an Instagram page. It's 440.kicks. Give it a follow. Give it a like. I post inventory every week, touch a lot of pairs, and just I'm trying to bring the hype to Cleveland. I feel like Cleveland is a smaller hype kind of town, and within these past few years, like, shoes are really becoming a big thing. I mean, it's always been a part of the culture in a way, but like now a lot of other kids are getting into it, and I just want to be on that forefront of the scene for the city.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I feel like in high school, a lot of kids kind of dabble with shoes, right? And they like have this idea that they're going to, flip shoes or be like a sneakerhead and have all these cool pairs of shoes and then eventually move them around and make a business out of it. But then it falls short, right? It's like very quick, like a year kind of fad sort of thing. How did you manage to take that surface level kind of idea and turn it into what it is now?
Yeah, so that's a really good observation. I do know a lot of kids that like will tell me to this day, hey, I used to be in shoes, but like I'm not really anymore. Like I'm looking for a new pair. But really for me, it was a different motivation and drive. Like when I was starting to resell my shoes, my whole story was I was bullied in middle school for not having cool shoes. My parents couldn't afford shoes, like the Jordans, the KDs, the LeBrons. Like those were the hottest things at the time. And I was in CYO basketball. So I was running around in some Fila Johns, like just feeling kind of left out. And I would get, you know, picked on or made fun, whatever extent it was. I took it personal because whether it was just me being a softie or whatever, it wasn't the thing you want to hear as a kid. Being felt like you're singled out because you don't have a name brand item. So I decided to change the narrative for myself. I went to the library and literally got a book on eBay, like how to sell on eBay. And then once I read through it, got the logistics out, I made an account through my mother's information. So shouts out to mom. She's always been there, always helping for the team. And then I sold everything around the house from Nerf guns to car parts to ceiling fans. Like, Joe, you name it, I've probably sold it on eBay.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And I got my money up and I bought my first pair of Jordans, my Jordan 11 Legend Blues. And I got to wear them a couple times to school. I felt cool. People were giving me compliments. I felt like I had really, like, started to turn my story around. And when I had them on, like, I fell in love with them. I'm like, wow, like this is cool. Like, not only did I feel like I was a cool kid, but, like, I felt like I was part of a culture, something bigger. And from there, I decided to sell the shoes, made a couple bucks on them, and I kept it rolling from there. I'd buy myself shoes, wear them to school, bring different flavors, and then bring them home, clean them up, and sell them on eBay, make a couple bucks.
That's awesome. And even like that, it starts to make a name for yourself, even within the school.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, totally.
Because everyone remembers when you're wearing the Filas, and then now it's like, oh, man, he's got a new pair of Jordans, a new pair of KDs every so often. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's awesome. It's like personal word of mouth by just wearing them.
Yeah,
that's
no, cool. Totally. It was cool to be like a beacon of just like a, you know, hype per se, just in school. And obviously we had a uniform, so it wasn't like I got to wear a different pair every day, but like even when we were like in gym or something, you know, like just throw their shoes on, I felt cool. Felt like I'd made it to where I had wanted to be. But then I really just turned it into I scaled it to a business. I mean, I kind of went out of shoes for a little bit going into high school. I kind of dabbled with the thrifting. Mm-hmm. You know, I loved going to find old polos at Goodwill's or whatever, and I'd bring them home and I'd clean them up and I'd take really nice pictures and post them on Poshmark and eBay still for a while. And then that kind of ran dry, and I was like, you know what, I want more, and I missed being in the shoes. I felt like I had kind of drifted away for a year or two and lost some of that knowledge, lost some of that drive. But then I really found myself again. I'm like, I need to do this. Like, this is something I'm passionate about. I know a decent amount about, and like, quite frankly, I saw myself as a decent businessman. You know, I was making sales every day on eBay, so I was like, I got to keep doing this. So come freshman year of college, you know, I got back into the game fully. I was doing it every single day. I restarted my page, 440.kicks on the gram. Which I started in 2015, so it's been like a while.
Yeah.
And I was posting on there every day, networking with who I could, buying off of kids across the country, like, and just really starting to build my brand.
How do you know who to trust with shoes? Because I feel like there's got to be, at some point you have to progress from, okay, I just got screwed on that pair of shoes, to knowing that you're going to get what you're asking for, hoping for.
Yeah, and actually that's a big fear of a lot of people trying to get into the game. Like, they make an Instagram page, and you have 0 to 100 followers, and you feel like an absolute nobody. And me having that little of followers, like, I knew my shoes and I was a very well-oriented business person, like, morally. Like, I never wanted to screw anybody over.
Oh, sure.
I would never sell any fake things. Like I wouldn't be able to go to bed at night knowing that I had, like, sold a fake pair or, like, somebody sent me money and I didn't ship them shoes. So for me to try and work with these other resellers, it was tough, who had, like, thousands of followers, you know, maybe even 1,000 followers. They still have that up on you. And it was kind of tough to make a way to deal with people that I felt I could trust. other people, you know, they're trying to take advantage of you because you have a small following. And if you get screwed over and you post something on your story, hey, this dude just screwed me over, like, there's no protection for you. Especially when you're selling with Zelle or Cash App or Venmo, which I do a lot of. Mm-hmm. There's no protection on that. I mean, you could send PayPal and maybe have that, but you really don't know. So what a lot of resellers have is a thing called a ref page. And what a ref page is generally the first post on that person's account. And everybody that does business with that account will leave a comment on that, like, hey, this dude was legit, shit my shoes quick, hey, I sold this dude a couple pairs, sent payment through, no problems. And then you can kind of go through that ref post in the comments and see, okay, who are these other pages dealing with them? Are these spoof pages? Are these fake pages? Do I know any of these people? And then once you start to deal with 2-3 people, you can start to branch out because you trust that person. And it's just about finding those couple first resellers to really branch off of. Because I had been scammed in the past, and it's no fun.
Yeah, you're down the money, you don't have the shoes, and then it's a major setback. It seems logical that would be...
Oh, yeah, no, it can be really disheartening, and for a lot of young resellers, if they're watching this right now, I would really recommend them to, you know, maybe you get screwed over once or twice, but you got to keep pushing through it, and you got to learn from your mistakes, because if you just sit back and you let that impact you, you let that affect you, you let that eat at you, which can happen, I mean, it happened to me, you got to get past that, because there's a lot of people out there that are trying to do good business with you, whether it's me, thousands of other resellers across the country that are just looking to make a quick buck and really grow their network.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's just about finding those people.
Hayden, do you think you need like a capital first? Like, what would you say is the first step for you? I mean, we know your story, but what would you say is like the first step through and through if you're trying to get into this shoe game?
So having a general knowledge of what's hot and what's not is a good thing to know. I mean, Yeezys, you know, when I was coming into the game, anything Yeezy was selling. So I knew if I could get my hands on a pair of Yeezys, I was bound to find somebody that would buy them. And then it's growing into, okay, what's the hotter drop? You know, what are the more limited drops? Where, you know, sometimes they'll drop a Jordan 1 and they'll have a stock of 200,000. And then sometimes they'll drop another Jordan 1, different colorway, and it's a stock of 10,000. So you know if you go after that pair and you're able to get that, the demand will drive that price up.
Sure.
So that can be something that, you know, you learn along the way. But in terms of capital, I mean, I started with nothing. And I probably sold maybe 200-300 worth of things at my house. So even just having that, even being able to buy one pair, I scaled where I am today from one pair to 300-400 now. I mean, you can do it with anything. As long as you buy that first pair, you turn that into two, you turn it into four, and it's really compounding from there.
Yeah, that's great. It's always that classic start from the bottom story. That's what I love about you, too. I was reminiscing with him a second ago before we started the show. I remember walking into your dorm freshman year, and you had all these boxes of Reese's Puffs with Travis Scott on the front of them. And it was like this, there he is,
my
this
man.
Limited edition box, right? And you were reselling them. And I'm like, this guy's got an axe for it. So it's just fun to see the progression.
Yeah, like a perfect example with that, it's like buying what you know. So like, yeah, Travis Scott's my favorite artist. So if it's a cereal box of him, I'm going to buy the whole shelf out. But also I know that a ton of other people like Travis Scott. True. He's one of the hottest artists out right now, hip-hop wise. So even just, you know, knowing that I could hold that for a while, there's going to be value in the long run.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, that's so cool. Those were nuts. Just a whole wall of Reese's Puffs.
Yeah.
Hey, you've sold to a bunch of big name people, like, right? So flex us a little bit, some of the clout. How do you make it to a point where you're selling to some of these big name players? And I know a lot of players in the NBA are kind of high up in the shoe game, basically. Is that how
like some dudes like PJ Tucker, you know, they know the dudes at Nike, like they're getting plugged in, like, so it's hard for me to slide into his DMs and be like, hey, I can get you shoes, when like he probably has everything I already have. Okay. If not stuff that's not, you know, or not hasn't even come out yet, like he's probably got the hottest and the latest. But in terms of like, so I've met up with Lil Skies, Key Glock, and then I met up with the Ball Is Life crew, which is like a popular YouTube basketball group. They're players that could have gone to the league but didn't, and they do their own thing. Ball-wise, travel across the U.S. So with Lil Skies, it was, okay, I'm not going to slide in the Lil Skies DM and you know, hey, I got shoes for you. That's not going to get looked at. What you have to do is you have to find a link in that network. And this is some free sauce right here. So if you're watching this, take some notes, because this is free sauce. You find somebody that you know they're close to but doesn't have a large following, because you can get their attention. And thankfully, with the amount of time and effort I put into my page, I have roughly 16,000 followers now. Having that number pop up in somebody's DMs is going to carry a lot more weight than somebody that has under 1,000 followers.
Sure.
So 440 Kicks LLC, 15,000 followers, wants to send you a message. Like, that's something that you have a good chance of getting clicked on, especially if it's somebody that doesn't get 100 DMs a day, 1,000 DMs a day, like Lil Skies probably does. So I reached out to his brother, who's also an artist, Cameron Hauser. Shouts out to Cam. I told him the situation. I said, hey, me and my boys, we've been big fans for a while. Like, I want to show you guys some love and, like, get you some pairs. And then I can bring some more stuff if you guys want to, like, shop with me. I'd love to get some pics and just meet you guys kind of thing. And so I went back and forth with Cam for a while, you know, just showing him what I have, trying to find a date he's available, you know, because they're always taking their photo shoots and their video, whatever. So they have really busy lifestyles. And I was finally able to meet up with him one day. He called me. He's like, hey, like, me and my brother are in town. If you want to come tonight, tonight's a perfect night. And so I literally, Joe, the next hour, I was calling everybody I knew, like, within 20 minutes from me, trying to get every size 9. They were size 9. Every size 9 I could possibly get. Like, whether it was a retro, a dunk, a 1. I didn't care. I wanted to bring them the flavors and seem like I had this wall of variety for them, right? So we drive out there. Me, Dom, and my boy Colson, we drive out there. And we meet up with Cam. He's cool, like, down to earth. We're having a good conversation. We're just like, I'm showing him some shoes. Skies isn't there yet. And he's like, he's fucking with us. Like, he's with the team. And he's like, hey, my brother's tied up for a minute. Like, we'll have to meet him in a little while. How about we go to the studio? So I'm like, cool. Like, not only did we drive 5 hours to Pennsylvania to meet him, but now we get to go to the studio and, like, live a little life. So we go to the studio. We're chilling. And then all of us are just sitting in the studio room. And Lil Skies just walks in the room. Like, the door opens. I see the tats on the arm before I even see him. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And he comes up and he dabs us all up. He's like, oh, so y'all the shoe plugs? And And, like, it was just at that point where I, like, I just felt, like, so proud. Like I just have, like, I always have flashbacks to being in middle school and being bullied and just to sit in that chair and just hear Sky say that and acknowledge me, not even knowing me, but, like, knowing I'm bringing shoes. That was just, like, huge for me because I was, like, I was this literal nobody that nobody gave a crap about. Nobody saw my vision. Yeah, sure, I had a couple friends, but nobody was supporting that kind of thing. And now I've really turned it to a business that's respectable and people can look at it and they're like, oh, you know, now I want shoes. So, long story short, we sell them the shoes, and I'm talking to Skies as we speak now. I'm trying to get him some more pairs, go back out there. So it wasn't even just like a one-time thing. Like, no, like, not, I can supply you with any shoe you need.
Yeah.
And that's with anybody. Like, if anybody wants to slide in my DMs, I have personal clientele that I take care of weekly, and I can find you anything you need.
And that's so cool, too. That's something about you. Like, if once you get your foot in that door, you're not going to blow that. You know, there's a special talent to be able to make that first impression and to be able to continue it then all the more, especially with someone like that, because their time, like you mentioned, is very limited.
Right.
So for you to go in there and to deliver, that is such a testimony to you and the brand and yourself that you've built up too.
Yeah, no, totally. I knew I had to take advantage of the opportunity. I didn't care if he gave me a 20 minutes notice, an hour's notice. Like, whenever he told me to come out there, I was going to make everything in my power to make sure I was going out there, because that was just such an important thing.
That is, yeah. So, as you said, 5 hours to Pennsylvania. Like, thank God he gave you enough time to get there.
I know. Yeah, I'm like, you got to give me a little bit of a heads up, because, like, I am a full 5 hours away. So, I mean, we got there pretty late, and we ended up driving back the same night. Didn't get back till, I don't know, 4 a.m. or so. But
that's so awesome. You know, guys had to be, like, elated on that drive back. That drive back, you just bump into Skies.
It was crazy. We were doing it the whole way out, you know, just manifesting, playing the music. And then, on, like, right after we all met him, like, we were in the car, and we just went nuts. Like, just, oh, my God, you know what I mean? Like, literally just let everything out, because we didn't believe what had just happened.
Sure. Yeah, it's like you're living on a fairy tale. You know what I mean? Like, that's a dream coming true.
Right, and so I, like, cool. Posted a picture with them. My phone's blowing up. I was like, holy, like, this is awesome. Like, this is everything I had ever hoped and dreamed of.
Do you ever aspire to take it to that level? Like, do you want it to get that big?
Oh, yeah, no, you totally. Do? I'd love to scale it to a worldwide kind of thing. You know, I want to have, you know, I mean, this is long term. It's going to take me a while to get there. But I'd love to have, you know, a store in Dallas or a store in Houston, and then I got a store on the west side. Like, I just want to have, like, and whether it's 4-4-0 kicks or not, I know the business, and I'm going to take these next few years while the market is still kind of young, even though there are a lot of people opening stores. There's probably been 4 or 5 stores that have opened in Ohio this year alone.
Wow.
So people are really hopping on the wave, and they're getting into those establishments. So I really want to take these next couple of years to focus on this business, because I know maybe 10, 20 years from now, there might be a shoe store on every block.
Sure.
And then where, you know, then there's competition out the wise. People are diluting the market with their prices. You never know where that could go.
Yeah. Why do you think it's so hot right now in particular?
Well, honestly, a lot of people, this is coming from what people have said to me, they see me doing what I'm doing, and they're inspired to do their own thing, which is awesome, but everybody wants to be on the shoe wave now. So, like, kids that I'll meet at some events will come up to me and, like, yo, 4-4 kicks, like, you know, some kids will ask for pictures or something, but, like, some kids will, like, go heart to heart, and they'll be like, I've been watching what you've been doing forever, like, you've totally inspired me to be a reseller, and I'm trying to bring my game up just like you. So a lot of people are seeing other people have success with it, and they want to hop on it. Just you know, with any other market, if somebody's making a ton of money in their stocks and they're posting every day, even though they're like an expert, of course you're going to have other guppies come in and try to, you know, learn the game and build up to that. So that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And so, Hayden, you've always been a charitable guy too, and recently you were on the news just for starting basically a fundraiser, right, before the school year started, because the school year just kicked off maybe a month and a half ago. So what was that about? You were giving shoes to people that needed them, right?
Yeah, so essentially, while I was still at John Carroll, which I am currently on a leave of absence now as I'm pursuing this full time, I was in the entrepreneurship minor, and one of my professors, Phil Wank, had talked about how he had done a ton of social work, given over $1 million to charities, like working with, you know, local governments, you know, people like DeWine. Like, he knows government officials, and he's done a lot of work with these local areas. So I went up to him after class one day, and I'm like, hey, like, this is what I'm looking to do. Like, I kind of gave him a little insight of my story. Like, again, I wanted to do this because I know the feeling of not having brand name items and feeling like you're on the outside. So I wanted to, my attempt just to have a ripple effect of bridging that gap between kids not being able to afford it and having cool Nike shoes or whatever. So I talked with him, and he's like, hey, I think Rainbow Center for Women and Children would be a great place for you to start. I'm cool with all the board there. I do a lot of active work with them. Let's bring you into a Zoom meeting or a phone call, and we can start talking about, you know, the inner linings of this. And this was probably, I don't know, 8 months ago. So we had talked for about a month or two. I went down to their location. We sat down in their conference room, kind of ran through, you know, what I was looking to get at it. Like, I was very specific. I wanted to see the kids. I wanted to hand the kids the shoes personally, and I wanted to have a moment to talk with them. And not only just, you know, oh, here's 100 pairs that I want to donate, you know, give them to the kids. Like, no, I want to have a face-to-face with this. Yeah. I'd love to see the families. I want to take some pictures. And I want to just maybe even be a facet of some sort of inspiration for them. You know, hey, look at me. Look at how young I am. And look what I'm able to do. Like, do your own thing and take, you know, your creativity to wherever. And you can do whatever you want. So that was what was going on in my mind. So, yeah, the event was amazing. Long story short, a couple months later, we just ran it about a month or two ago. After many months of planning and all that, gave away, I think it was 86 pairs total.
That's awesome.
To kids in need. Yeah, everyone from moms and dads to kids and toddlers, which was the majority of it. But, I mean, we would take care of the whole family. So these families that were regulars at the university hospitals come in, and the university hospital, hey, we're holding a shoe drive end of the month, you know, before school. If you guys want something, let us know your kids' sizes, and we'll put you on the list.
Nice.
And then after a month or two of doing that, they got about 86 people,
so
probably,
cool.
I don't know, 20 families or so.
Yeah.
So it was awesome.
Hey, you got to meet a lot of powerful people right there.
Yeah.
What was the most touching story from that day for you?
So it was actually cool. The excerpt that they had gotten on the news was of this girl who was super cool. Like, she was super outgoing. I think she was like 11 years old. She said she wanted to go to Harvard. Like, this bright child. And just so happened that the shoes that I had gotten her had green and blue in them. She was like, oh my gosh, like, green's my favorite, my grandma's favorite color.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, wow, like, what are the odds that, like, the shoe that I'm giving away to this girl happens to be her favorite color, which now also reminds her of her grandmother. Like, that's totally awesome to me. And then they did an aside with the news, you know, talking to the mom, talking to the girl, and she, like, says that. Like, you know, I love these shoes. They remind me of my grandma. Like, my favorite color, green. And that was, like, that was cool. Like, I was moved to tears that day because it was just, like, it was so overwhelming how awesome that whole thing was.
That is. It's totally beautiful. You could
yeah.
picture it, too. You know,
oh,
like,
yeah.
I watched that, and I think I can remember exactly the excitement on her face and all that as she was
oh,
even
yeah.
talking after the fact, like you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
That's so cool. I love that you have, like, the innovation to take a business, right, from the ground up, but also take this idea to help others and take that also from the ground up, too. You have the initiative and you have the willingness. There's a lot to be said for that. So.
Oh, no, totally appreciate that. You know, no, I think it's so important for businesses that are successful to give back when they can. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not riding around in a Lamborghini, you know, throwing money out the window. I mean, I have, you know, I've gotten myself to a good place, and I feel like it's a responsible thing to give back a little bit. You know, I, not even just me giving the pairs to the kids. Like, again, there was a ripple effect. Everybody that saw that, people still go up to my dad this day in church, like, oh my gosh, like, how's your son doing? Like, we saw what he did. And, like, so just people being informed, even my neighbor, like, this, my older neighbor, like, she's like 80 years old, just saw her in the front yard. They like, hey, I saw your story on the news a couple weeks ago.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
That's awesome. So it was just great that was a positive story for people to take in.
Yes.
And, like, whether that brightened their day up, whether that hadn't, you know, gave them an idea in some way they can give at, however that was, it way bigger than I could ever imagine.
That's great. Yeah, that's so great. You leave such an effect on those families. And what a great name for you, too. You know, like,
yeah.
everyone knew it was authentic, but it's also a nice boost for you, too.
Yeah,
you know
no, totally,
I mean? Like,
totally.
Your Portfolio Kicks is generous
oh,
and,
yeah.
and we're your shoe plug. So it's like...
Yeah, no, 100%. I didn't want to... That's the one thing I didn't want was to come across as... Hey, look at me.
Yeah,
look at all
right.
this money I'm giving to this charity. Look at how great I am. You know, but we wanted coverage on it. I mean, it was a great story. You know what
of
I mean?
Course.
So hopefully nobody took it that way. But I don't think anybody did.
No.
It was a very genuine act. And And I think the public received it as such.
Absolutely. And as an aside, for anyone tuning in on the podcast, tuning in on YouTube, I'll have all of these links down in the comments or in the description, whatever YouTube lets me do here. So check out that news article. It's a great, great read. And then the video's a great watch, too. So it's really powerful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so, Hayden, like you were saying, you've gotten it to a point, your business, to a point that is now, that has allowed you to do these things where you can be generous, where you can give. Like, when you're first starting off, it's really hard to do that. So now, after a three-year pretty consistent grind, you've been able to do that.
Yeah.
What have been the integral steps for you in that three-year period, which is not a long time to grow a business to that point, from nothing to that point, really, to allow you to do that?
Well, I got to say, like, probably the biggest thing is the networking. Like, a couple years ago, I knew a couple resellers around the area. I had, you know, one dude in New York. I had one dude in Michigan, one girl in Cali. So, like, I had a couple people sprinkled, but it was really just about the time and the time spent on Instagram, honestly, sending DMs, building relationships. I mean, a lot of these relationships started as me just sending, you know, DMs, hey, what do you have for sale? And then that would turn into maybe me buying a pair or two. And then next time they have something, oh, let me get your number. And then that turned into me, you know, talking to them on the phone about their shoes. And perfect example, this past, well, actually a couple days ago, I just got back from Michigan, where I was buying a bunch of pairs out there from dudes that I had met on Instagram nearly a year ago. I literally pulled up to their houses, went inside, and I was shopping through their whole itinerary of just shoes. So it's awesome to, you know, think about, I reached out to complete strangers and built that relationship. And the second dude, they took us out to dinner. So it was like we pull up to their house, we're chilling, we're just laughing, having a good time, do some business, and then they take us out to dinner, and it's like, okay, I'll see you next time. Like, so it's not even just the business aspect. It's like building those relationships and having friendships. And when you find those kind of links and you realize that it's not all about the money, it's about building those relationships, it's going to propel your business and allow you to grow way quicker than you would expect.
Is Instagram your most powerful tool, would you say?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never really tapped into the Twitter. I know that there's a lot of selling that does go on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Never made an account. Snapchat, I'm very active on Snapchat, so that's cool too. But I know Facebook is a huge, like, there's like a lot of OGs and a lot of old heads that use Facebook. Wow. And, like, they have their meeting groups or whatever. And that's something I haven't really tapped into just because I poured, like, my life into my Instagram.
Sure.
Like, I've spent countless hours. My screen time is through the roof just by me being on Instagram all week. So I guess it's just me, whether thinking I don't have enough time or whether just not allocating that time to other platforms.
Yeah. I mean, once we know the changing of the guard is going to happen, like, when those guys get off of Facebook, it's going to be Instagram, right? I mean, we all know Facebook is for parents, and it's just for parents only at this point anyway.
100%.
And then it's just kids our age are just posting updates. So for you to start a business on there when you have such a successful Instagram page, of course, like, it doesn't seem to be, you know, worth the while.
Right, and I feel like everybody uses Instagram or has an Instagram page. You know, some people, you know, like me, I don't have Twitter. Or, you know, some people might not have Facebook, but, like, I feel like everybody has an Instagram and or a Snapchat. So I feel like those are two pretty popular platforms.
And they've really renovated the shop feature, I think, on Instagram within recent, like, it's constantly, anytime you go and update in the App Store, it's always, like, updates to the shop feature, updates to the shop feature. I'm like, what are they doing? Like,
yeah, I know. No, they're very business friendly, and I give Instagram props for that, and that's why they're going to be the hottest platform to come, because they're allowing businesses to come in, set up marketplaces, and then instantaneously market themselves through, you know, marketing packages or whatever, and you know, promoted posts, and they can really, everything they need to build their business can be found on Instagram. So
it's cool. I'm always amazed when someone can be so knowledgeable in everything, right? Like, you're very knowledgeable in the business aspect of it, but also, of course, the shoes, you have to be.
Right.
What else do you work on aside from your knowledge in the shoe game, so keeping up on that, and aside from the business, to make yourself successful?
Well, I mean, really, it's just, I want to say it's open, being open to opportunities and just really going with the flow. Like, so, perfect example with the Ball is Life crew, that was held at a Cleveland high school. They were coming in from out of town, and the organizer, who it's called the P-League, it's a local basketball league for men's, he reached out to me and said, hey, you know, I'd love to meet up with you and talk with you about this exciting opportunity. I'm having Ball is Life come in. There's going to be a lot of YouTube celebrities there, and we're going to have a basketball game. So I'm like, okay, cool. Like, just thinking, like, maybe I pull up and take some pictures with them. Or maybe I bring a shoe or two, try to see if they're interested. So I meet up with him, and it turns into him offering me a couple table spots, like, at the venue before people walk in. So I was like, yeah, like, 100%. Like, let's do it. I don't care if I, you know, don't make a lot of sales. Like, I want to go out, and I want to present my business like this. So I go out, set a bunch of tables up, we're talking to a bunch of people, and it was honestly a really bad day. I only probably sold 2-3 pairs of shoes.
Okay.
So was it worth the time? No. But I feel like it propelled my business forward because I put myself out there. People saw who I am. We talked with people. We were handing business cards out. And even though I didn't end up with all this money in my pocket, I feel like it was still a good way to just put myself out there. Nice. So not even just from the business knowledge and from the networking, but being willing to put yourself out there to catch an opportunity, to be in the right place at the right time, to have that mindset, okay, I don't care what, like, I'm ready for this. And when you put yourself in that, you're just going to see things come your way, and you're going to be surprised.
Yeah, that's cool. You're right, because it's not always the financial aspect that's the most important, you know, and that's there's a great awareness from you for that, of course. Do you find people ever wondering about your age or being thrown off by the fact that you're a young guy? Like, it's just with anything, like, there's a natural trust that comes with age, right? Like, there's a this belief that age is wisdom. So do you ever find that, oh, like, he's got to be a rookie, or, oh, he's got to be, like, this young guy, you know, not reliable, all that kind
of... Yeah. See, it's funny, because a lot of people will look at me, and they'll go, oh, hey, you have a shoe business, you're 20, like, you're young, like, wow, you're, like, a CEO, per se, of your own sure. business. When in reality, there's hundreds of resellers that are, like, 16, like, in this country. Like, the kids that I went over his houses this week, they're still in high school. Juniors and seniors in high school. Like, young, like, 17, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. And it's just, it's awesome to see these young guns come up and just have this business idea and stay at it all day and really make this money. Like, I love the fact that my contact book is full of, like, younger kids that, like, I talk with. Like, whether I want to say the range that I probably deal with is from 16 to 27. Like, I really don't even deal with any old heads. So it's cool. And I do feel young, and it's cool for people, you know, oh, like, wow, you're young. But my page is my biggest claim to fame in the sense that if somebody sees that, they're not really going to hesitate shopping with me because they can see that. But when I was coming up and I was younger, like, yeah, that was an issue. I mean, people weren't really, like, asking how old I was. But again, like, the follower count was, like, the biggest thing. And that's crappy because I got scammed by a page that had a lot of followers that I trusted just based on that fact. So the following isn't always everything. But, I mean, when you don't have a lot of following, that's like, oh, like, who's this guy? Yeah. You know, moving three pairs a week. Like, what? I'm not going to gift you money. I'm not going to say, like, I'm going to wait till your package comes in to send you money because I don't know you and I'm a more, you know, represented business than you. And that's how that goes.
Yeah. So it's funny that it's like, like, just how everything progresses, because no one cares about your age, you're saying, until, you know what I mean, then you show up, and it's like, oh, it's a young guy, but it doesn't matter, because it's, like, your 16,000 followers, whether you're 20 or 40. So.
Exactly. No, this kid that I know, I actually think he might have just turned 17. He owns one of the biggest shoe shops in Chicago. It's called Unique Chicago. It's got all these celebrities that come shop with him all the time. Like, I think the kid's still in high school. I don't know if he averted his classes, but, like, these young guys are doing it out here.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see.
Who's the main clientele, Hayden?
So I want to say the culture has always revolved around African-Americans. Like, you know, obviously Jordan was a big model for them. And when you start to learn the history a bit more, you see, you know, a lot of these guys that are 40-year-old now, well, they were, like, in their teens in, you know, 80s, 90s when Jordan was playing. So the fact that that was introduced when they were young... Mm-hmm. They've always been propelled to buy Jordan since then. So there's really a strong culture with African Americans. However, there are a lot of white kids that buy from me. And I do have a lot of Arab clientele, which is really cool. And then also there's a big Asian market. I know a lot of people that have suppliers over in Asia. Hey, I got my dude in China's got 300 pairs of Yeezy creams, you know, or whatever like that. So the culture for the Asians and the African American markets are the biggest, I'd say.
Wild. And is it mostly younger people, too?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, I do have some customers that are, like, older, you know, like, in their 40s. And honestly, when I post them on Instagram, I mean, some people might buy things that I don't even know who they are because they'll have a random page with a, you know, profile pic or whatever. But I'd say most of the people I deal with are between, you know, 18 and 30 years old.
Yeah. That makes sense. I feel like that's what most people that age are wearing tennis shoes. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you see a lot of...
And it's cool to see with the different styles, too. So, like, perfect example, like, these 350s here, this is a shoe that you'd see a young white kid wearing.
Sure.
Because he thinks Yeezys are the coolest things, Jordans don't mean much to him, and, like, that's what's hot. So that's, like, a hype beast. But then you look at something like this, and yes, this is a new colorway, but this is a Jordan 1 classic silhouette. You're more likely to sell this to, I even want to say Asians, too, but or an African-American client, because that means so much more to them. Like, that's not necessarily all the hype and the Yeezy, you know, let's hop on the wave, But that, like, that means something to them. Like, wow, I'm wearing, like, the freshest ones. Like,
yeah, people that know shoes were excited when this whole new thing dropped.
Oh,
all the colors. I remember, like, my uncle was telling me about it. I'm like, dude, what? Like, I'm not going to wear boots, like I said. But
Right. No, for sure. So it really depends on the items, too.
Yeah.
And that's why I like to have a diverse, you know, product range. I you know, you got to have the size 5 to 12 spread. Mm-hmm. And then you got to have a couple 13s, 14s. You have the big footers asking. And then you got to have the Yeezys for the hype kids or for the people that, you know, they're actually extremely comfy. So, like, I sold a pair of Yeezys to a grandmother one time, like, just because they were comfy. So, you know, you got to have the comfy and the hype stuff. And then, you know, you have the classic stuff, the Jordans, the retros, that kind of thing. So just having that mix allows you to cater to a wide variety. And honestly, that's one of my favorite things about the sneaker game. Anybody can be into sneakers. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sneakers is just a common theme that brings a lot of people together.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was just going to say, it's fun because everyone wears shoes, and, like, everyone can appreciate looking at cool shoes. Like, all these shoes that you have behind me are sick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whether or not I'd wear them or not, it's like, that's awesome. That's awesome. They're all awesome.
Right.
Which is a fun part about it, too. You know, it's kind of like a piece of artwork in a way.
Oh, totally. No, that's why, like, some pairs of shoes that, like, I have in my personal collection, I don't think I'll ever wear, because I look at it too much as a piece of art than, like, you know, a pair of shoes. And some people feel differently about it, but, you know, like the Off-White, like, so these are Off-White Dunks. So this is a collaboration with Virgil Abloh, the lead director of Off-White, and then Nike. They do collabs. And these shoes are, like, circa $500.
Oh,
so, like, if I were to have a pair of these, like, I really liked, am I going to wear them? Maybe I'll wait a while.
Yeah.
Maybe I won't. I'll just hold on to them as an investment and flip it. But it just really depends on what the shoe is, I guess.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I have a couple final thoughts for you. And to take it a little more on, like, a personal note, less from 440 Kicks, but just in general, or with the business, do you have any regrets so far that you kind of think about or that you've learned the most from or anything like that?
That's a very interesting question. I like to say that I live my life with minimal regrets, as I follow my passion every day. I go not only where the money chases me, but the networking chases me. I guess just my only regret, though, is not starting sooner. I wish that I had the drive from 7th grade to now. And if I had stuck with that grind, I might not have even gone to college at that point. I would have maybe even already have a store by now. I don't know. But the younger I would have started, the more time I would have had to build up and really grow that. And that's the only thing I regret. Although, sometimes I look at myself and it's like, wow, like, I'm doing all this business. Like, I'm running around. Like, I got to take a second and enjoy my life sometimes, you know, because I still am 20 years old. And, like, before I know it, like, I'm going to be looking back. Like, I don't want to regret not having this time to do fun things.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, growing and getting to where I want to do, like, where I want to be is a very important thing to me. So it's kind of like trying to balance, okay, you know, have a little personal life, but then also, like, go balls deep in the work and get where you need to go.
Yeah, and it takes some confidence to drop out of school like that.
Oh, it was a mind-boggling decision. Like, even talking with my boys, like, running it by them, you know, and then I'm talking to my family and stuff. Like, some people have the opinion, oh, you know, you're already halfway there. Like, finish it. It's only 2 years.
Right.
And, like, you're right. Like, I just did 2 years. I could do two more years. But then it's like, man, but, like, I'm going to go back to school and I'm going to fall off my path of grinding every day because I come in, like, hot after summer. Like, I'm running around every day making sales. Like, I'm like, shit. Like, I'm on a bobsled right now going down. And then it's like, school is like a freaking, I'm hitting a rock and I got to, like, pause it for a second. Like, yeah, sure, I can make plays during the day. But it's like, I can't be doing, you know, sun up to sundown what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first 2 years in freshman year, I came in with 3 shoes. You know, that wasn't even really a question. And then sophomore year, too, it wasn't like I had it big. You know, I was like, okay, like, I can manage the school, especially with it being online. I'm like, I can manage the school and the plays. But then really just coming down to the last semester, I'm like, shit, like, I'm going to have to sit in the classroom for multiple hours a day. Maybe I can get my classes on Tuesday, Thursday, sure, but that's still 2 full days I'm going to be out of it. I'm going to have tests, essays to worry about. Why am I pursuing a degree that I'm not fully passionate about and really see myself utilizing, when I know that I could spend this time putting into my passion and honestly what's making a living for myself right now. Like, I cover all of my expenses by myself.
Absolutely.
I'm able to go shop and buy new things because I have the money to. And it's like, going to school would slow that down, not stop it necessarily, and I'm sure I could manage both. But it's just about following my passion. And that's, to whoever's viewing this right now, that'd be my biggest piece of advice, is to follow your passion. I was talking to Don Winkle about kids dropping out, and he's an entrepreneurship guy here at JCU. I was talking with him about it, and he's like, you know, I've had kids drop out and open flower boutiques or, you know, open secondhand clothing stores. He's like, it, you know, a lot of people go and find their path away from school. And I think that's such an important message, to just follow your passion and do whatever the fuck you want, because you're only young for so long and you might be gone tomorrow. I don't want to die tomorrow and say, wow, like, I was just in school these past few, like, I should have just been running around, like, traveling the country, meeting people. So I really feel like you got to live that this might be my last day and kind of have that mentality to really push yourself to where you can get.
Absolutely. It's great. I think you put it beautifully, Hayden. I think it's a very great recognition that you have of yourself, too, to be able to say, like, hey, like, I got to strike while the iron's hot because I see my business doing well. I see myself making money. I'm covering all my bases here.
Yep.
And then to be able to say, to take the leap of faith, I mean, because it takes a lot.
Yeah.
It takes a lot. And guys like Don's a great guy. Don's seen it all. You know, he's seen those flower things that are successful. He's seen those flower things that tank.
Yeah.
And so he's going to, of course, root you on. But it's like, I'm sure I'm just beating a dead horse with stuff that he said, too. But, like, it comes down to you. And you're the one that wakes up every day. And as long as you're loving it every day and you're the one that's making the sales happen and that you're flipping the shoes, that it's worth it.
Right. No. And, like, now I feel like I have this added motivation because I don't want to, like, be sitting around the house and, like, not going. Like, okay, I'm not in school now. I have no excuse to be sitting around doing nothing. So whether that's me putting in an hour to, you know, website maintenance, or whether that's me taking an hour to search for an editor because I want to continue to develop my YouTube processes, or call a couple guys and try to work some deal, whatever it is, I'm going all day because now it's just game time.
So the end vision, Hayden, where do you see yourself? You see yourself doing this forever? You see yourself...
That's a great question, Joe. Honestly, a lot of where I am today has come through sporadic things and, like I said, just opportunities opening up. Yeah. Like, so it's hard for me to see myself in 5-10 years from now when, you know, somebody could be, I could have somebody go, hey, I want to open a shoe store with you tomorrow. Here's $1 million. I don't want to return. I just want to, like, you know, something crazy could just happen and totally change the course of my life. Like, I have no idea. So just 5 to 10 years from now, I just want to be able to look back and go, holy crap, like, these 5 years, like, I put the work in. Like,
yeah.
And I want to be able to see that work. I want to be able to provide. I want to give jobs to my friends. I want to be able to give it to my family. I want to be able to get, I want to take my parents on a trip to the Bahamas. Like, I barely went on vacations when I was young, but I want to be able to turn around and say, hey, like, we're going out of the country. Like, pack your bags, you know, like, I'm the one taking care of us now. Like, that's what I really want to get to. And once I get to that point, I'm going to feel a little more relieved, but I know my job ain't done because I'm just going to keep hustling until the death of me, honestly. I'm looking to get into a rental property soon. I want to buy my first house. My brother's going to be a sophomore next year, so I'm trying to get him and his buddies in a house.
That'd be sick.
And then maybe even get a place of my own.
Yeah.
And just, you know, keep the business ventures. I always got ideas, and the shoes will be my bread and butter, at least for now, because that's the quick stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a lot of ideas. And
people who grind like you have to.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you didn't have ideas, what would you do? Because
you're
too much of a business guy. You're too much of an entrepreneur to just sit around with all your time and not do anything with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's wasted potential. Time is money. Time is money. If you don't believe that, I'm sorry. Like, you got it backwards. Time is money. Your time is valuable, and you need to use that time to your best advantage.
And it's fun, too. Like, I love when kids our age, like, start making money because it's, like, it changes everyone's perspective, I feel like. Like, a lot of people are on both ends of the spectrum with money where, like, it's really good thing, it's really bad thing. But there's one thing for sure about money is that it opens doors, it creates opportunities, it's a resource, it allows you to take your family to the Bahamas and that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of doors that open just by having a bank account that is reflective of the hard work that you put in.
Exactly. No, and, like, you learn a lot of business things doing it yourself. Like, whether it's going down and sitting with a banker for 2 hours to open your business account,
yeah,
and then to file for a business credit card, and then to talk about loans. Like, you really gain that field knowledge just by going through the motions yourself and establishing yourself. Like, filing the LLC. Like, that was huge for me. It's super simple. Anybody could file for an LLC, but just, like, doing that and then utilizing that. Okay, I'm using my EIN number for my taxes. I'm using my EIN number for, you know, a tax write-off form, which I just filled out. Like, it's cool to use those tools that you've allowed yourself to have and then expand on that.
That is really cool, yeah. I just filed for my LLC, too, so we're working there. We're
hell
getting
yeah.
there.
Hell yeah. No, it'll be a breeze.
Not doing kicks, for sure. Hayden, are there any final thoughts that you kind of have before we get to wrapping this up?
Not really. I think we covered a lot of bases today, and I'm sure we could talk for another 2 hours, but we'll have to save that for a second episode after the people run this up to 100 likes. Hit that like button, baby. Let's see.
I love it. Hayden 440 Kicks, Cleveland based. You're going to see his name and his company's name all across the world and stores popping up in Dallas, on the West Coast,
wherever
that he's mentioned.
Worldwide. 440,
worldwide.
Baby, worldwide.
That's it. Yeah, he is the new Mr. Worldwide in the Kicks game, at the least. Hayden, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks
Joe,
for joining Chats with
absolute
Clark.
Absolute honor. Thank you, man.
Appreciate you being on.
Yes, sir.
It's been another episode of Chats with Clark. Thanks for tuning in, as always. If you haven't yet, I don't know why you haven't hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening, and we'll see you next time.